Happy Hanukkah, everybody. It's important to remember that Hanukkah is a joyous time. That should be the obvious. But it needs to be said because, unlike Purim, there's no obligations to have big su'udas, lavish meals, exchange gifts like we have by Purim that create these artificial senses of simcha on Hanukkah. That's not the case. But the Taz does point out, the Taz passed away in 1667 or something like that, towards the end of the 17th century. The Taz was Reb David Siegel, was the head of the Vat Arba Aratzos. He was basically the head of the Bezdin of the European communities in the 17th century. So he points out in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch that even though there's no obligation to create this artificial sense of simcha on Hanukkah like we do by Purim, on Hanukkah, though, there still is an obligation of simcha. You have to find the spiritual simcha that comes through Hanukkah. So we have to make sure that we're machmer specifically. We're very stringent in order to achieve the truest simcha that we can on Hanukkah. So I wish everybody a Chag Sameach. Tonight, I wanted to dive into a question that we discuss almost every year at this point. It's become a little bit of a minhag that we do this class, which is asking the question of why is Hanukkah for 8 days, which seems like a little bit of a silly question or one that pretty much everybody knows the answer to. But tonight we're going to see that it's not that simple of an answer. Last year when we were discussing this, we only had the opportunity to get to three answers. Tonight I'd like to take on a few more to this question of why is Hanukkah for 8 days? But before we even get to why that's even a question, first we have to start with the obvious answer. The obvious answer is why is Hanukkah 8 days is because we know the story that is quoted in the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara says, "My Hanukkah, what exactly is Hanukkah?" It tells over some of the laws of Hanukkah. We need to be joyous during the times of Hanukkah because kishenichnasu yevanim leheichal, because when the Greeks came into the temple, timnu kol hashmonim, they made impure all of the oils. Shebeheichal kishigavra malchus beis hashmonai. So then when the hashmonaim, when the Maccabees stood up to fight the Greeks and they won, they only found one jug, there was only enough oil to that still had the stamp of approval from the Kohen Gadol, and there was only enough to last for 1 day, or as Asher, my son, likes to say, so it was just a little bit of oil, just like that, just a little bit of oil, just enough to last for 1 day. And then a miracle happened, says the Gemara, v'hedliku mimenu shmonas yamim, and there was enough to last for, there was a miracle that happened that it lasted for 8 days, and therefore, l'shana acheres, the next year, kavim v'asum yamim tovim b'halo v'hoda, and there, the next year after that, we made this new yontif of Hanukkah to give praise and thanks to Hashem over the miracles he's done for us. So the obvious answer is because of the miracle that happened with the fact that the oil lasted instead of just for 1 day like it naturally should have. It lasted for 8 days, going beyond the laws of nature. Now, the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, asks a question on here. Now, this question we're going to ask on the Gemara has, I have a sefer at home that has 100 answers to this question that we're going to ask. The Beis Yosef himself gives three answers, but there's 100 answers to this question. One of my rabbeim, Rabbi Michal Taubis, once told me that he has a book that has 500 answers to this question of the Beis Yosef. There's many, many answers to this question of the Beis Yosef. But what's the question on this Gemara? The question is like this. What did they find? They found enough oil to last for 1 day. And there was a miracle that it happened, that it lasted for 8 days. So how long was the miracle for? 7 days. So how long should Hanukkah be? 7 days. So why is Hanukkah for 8 days? That's the question that needs to be addressed, which is that really there should be a 7 day holiday, not an 8 day holiday, because the first day was not was really not a miracle. Now, there's many, many answers. One answer is the fact that they even found the oil in the first place was miraculous. There's many answers to this question. I want to focus on some of the juicier answers. So let's take a look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef himself gives the following answers. The first, by the way, I should also mention, just this is a more of a historical note, but it's interesting how history writes certain things, that history has called this the question of the Beis Yosef. In fact, the books that are written to address this question, again, there are books that have 500 answers. They title the books playing off the fact that it's called the Kushias Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef's question. Now, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, 1488 to 1575, at the age of 4 years old, was kicked out of Spain along with his other Jewish brethren, who would not concede to the Christian ways, and they left Spain in the Inquisition. They traveled through the Ottoman Empire. He ended up settling in Svat. He lived, Baruch Hashem, a long and fulfilling and successful life of 83 years. And he wrote this encyclopedic work called the Beis Yosef, actually named after a verse in this week's Parsha, when Yosef HaTzadik was given the role of being the economic minister for Egypt, and he was the second in command. So the storehouses that he used to store all of the food from the seven good years in order to distribute during the seven bad years was called the Beit Yosef, the house of Yosef, meaning the storehouses of Yosef. So he writes in the introduction to his book, he says, I want to write an encyclopedia of Jewish law so that way a person practically today will know how to practice Jewish law, and they'll know all the background for it, similar to the storehouse of Yosef that fed the entire world. I want my book to be able to be a source of sustenance for the entire spiritual world. So he titled the name after the story of Yosef HaTzadik from this week's Parsha. Yeah. So then he has this huge encyclopedia, Brian, right? He has this huge encyclopedia. And then he writes, he says that the only people that are really going to have access to this book are going to be Talmid Chacham, Jewish scholars, which doesn't defeat the purpose. It's good work for them to have. But for the layperson, they need to just have a quick guide to know what to do. So he wrote an index to his Beis Yosef, almost like a review system for his Beis Yosef, called the Shulchan Aruch. It was the shorthand. So the code of Jewish law that we refer to is the Shulchan Aruch, which was the cliff notes to this magnum opus, the encyclopedia of the Beis Yosef. So it's the condensed version of a much of the original printings of the Beis Yosef came in one volume. I'm sorry, of the Shulchan Aruch came in one volume, with just a calendar, a 30-day calendar to review it every 30 days. The Beis Yosef, the printing I have is 23 volumes because of all of the commentaries now on it. But even the older printings are between 8 and 10 volumes long. It was a big encyclopedia, huge. Now, we're talking about 16th century here where he's writing this question. Now, he didn't have access. He's thinking of this question himself. He didn't have access to the other Rishonim that asked this exact question that predate him about 300 years. The Rush from Frankfurt and Mainz and then Spain lived from 1250 to 1327. He himself asked this question on the Gemara. So, you know, we're going back 300 years before the Beis Yosef. This question's already been 200-300 years already being asked. By the Meiri, this question is being asked going back, 150 years before the Beis Yosef. The Rimuluniel of Provence also asking this question. Many Rishonim already asked this question, but history wrote this in that predate the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo. But history wrote this question in as Rabbi Yosef Karo's question, the question of the Beis Yosef, why is Hanukkah for 8 days? It really should only be 7 days, being that the miracle was a 7-day miracle. So he gives the following answer. His answer is like this. His answer is like this. Number one, he says, Nimsa, it would seem as though he says, Ish Lomar, you could say it like this. This is what they did. Shechilku shemen shebepach. They found that one small jug of oil. And what did they do with that one small jug of oil? They split it. They said, listen, we know how long it's going to take to procure more oil because we're in Yerushalayim and the oil press and the vineyards are up in the north in the region of Asher. Land of Israel was split still in their ancestral lands, depending on your tribe, your shevet, the tribal lands. So it's up in the region of Asher, which is where all the grove, the olive groves were, and it's going to take a full 8 days for us to get new oil. So we only have a little bit of oil right now. We only have enough for one day. Let's not waste it all in one day. We're going to take just an eighth. Okay, it will only stay lit for 3 hours, but we'll put a little bit in. We'll stay lit for 3 hours, and then tomorrow we'll do it for another 3 hours. And so that way, each day, we won't miss out at least on a day where there'll be some light coming from the menorah. That's the basic. And then what happened each day was that this little bit of oil that should have only lasted 3 hours ended up lasting a full 24 hours. So every single day was miraculous in nature. That's the first answer of the Beis Yosef. He says, they split it into l'shmona chalakim, to 8 parts. Ubecholayla hayonotim b'menorah chelik echad. Every day they put in one of those parts. V'hayadolek ad haboker. And it stayed lit the entire night. V'ninsim shchola lelos na'asenis. And therefore, every single night, there was a miracle that occurred. Now, there are a couple of problems with this answer. There's a couple of problems with this answer. It's hard to believe that. Now, I wouldn't take issue with the Beis Yosef myself because, like, he's the Beis Yosef. But the Pri Chadash asked these questions. Now, the Pri Chadash is a book that's in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. This is the Pri Chadash in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, and it's an incredible work. Actually, I'm fairly certain. I'm fairly certain that the Pri Chadash, Chacham de Silva, Chizkiyahu de Silva, he passed away just before the turn of the 17th century. In 1797, he passed away. He was a contemporary of the Taz, but he was Sephardic. He was in the Sephardic lands. I'm fairly certain it's his Yortzeit tonight. I have to double check, but I'm fairly certain it's his Yortzeit tonight. So should be his chus for his neshama that we're learning from his sefer. So the Pri Chadash was an incredible genius. In fact, I've heard from a number of different people that when the Pri Chadash will address something, it's often very difficult to argue with him because the points he brings up are very sharp. They're extremely sharp, meaning that somebody could have given a very neat answer. Like we just gave a very neat answer to deal with the issue, but the Pri Chadash will come in like a sharp knife and just like cut through the issue and say, like, you just didn't think it through all the way because he's extremely sharp. So here he brings up two issues he has. Number one, with this beautiful idea is that they split it into 8 equal parts so that they didn't lose a single day. And then every day was miraculous, right? Very hard to imagine that they would have done such a thing because there's a Gemara in Masechta Menachos on Daf Peites that has a halacha with regards to how we fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. That the menorah, just like every other mitzvah, has a requisite amount that needs to be filled in order to do the mitzvah. For example, tzitzis. Tzitzis, without the right amount of strings, it's not tzitzis. You don't fulfill the mitzvah that way. A sukkah has specific dimensions that are required in order for a sukkah to be a sukkah. That every mitzvah has specific dimensions or measurements that need to be adhered to in order to fulfill the mitzvah properly. The Gemara tells us in Menachos that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the menorah properly, the cup needs to be totally filled. If it doesn't have enough oil to light for a full 24-hour period, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah. So then if that's the case, meaning the Gemara is recording it, but that's a halacha that would predate this episode because the Gemara is talking about when they were doing the mitzvah, meaning in the temple, right? They're not the Chanukiah. I'm not talking about the Chanukiah. I'm talking about the menorah in the temple. The menorah in the temple needed to have the requisite amount of oil in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Well, there happens to be that there was more than one menorah. The Gemara says about 10 pages later in Menachos, on Daf Tzadi test, the Gemara says that there were actually 10 menorahs that Shlomo Melech put together, but they only used one. The only one they used was the one that Moshe had made and the one that Moshe used. But they did have other ones, but yeah, I guess so. They had 10 menorahs, they had 10 shulchans, 10 tables. They had a few backups, I guess. Yeah.
The same amount, each menorah, that there's a fixed amount
There was a fixed amount. Would they had enough in each one to last the amount, meaning enough fuel to last the amount of time it needs to be lit for, right? Meaning, yeah, I'm sure that because no human beings are perfect, even the Gemara already addresses that and says that, I mean, not that we need the Gemara to tell us that human beings aren't perfect, but the Gemara says that if Charlotte Samson, the Gemara says in Masechta Bechoros on Yud Zayin that it's impossible for people to be perfectly accurate. But as long as there's enough oil, enough fuel to last the amount of time it needs to be lit, you fulfill your mitzvah. Putting 1/8 of a cup in is not enough. You know, at best, it's going to last 3, maybe 4 hours. It's not going to last the amount of time it needs to be lit for. So if that's the case, you have a problem over here. That
Seven.
Yeah.
Each light was
filled only a third. In order, that's what the Beis Yosef is suggesting. It was only filled a third, and then it was miraculous. It lasted the full amount of time, but the Pri Chadash says that can't be because then that means that the Kohanim are forgoing the mitzvah of lighting it properly. I'm in an eighth. So we'll come back to that point. But all seven needed to be lit in order to, again, that's also part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It needs to have the right amount of oil and the right amount of lights. If you don't do that, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. So we'll get to Elisha also. So the Pri Chadash says like this. He says, hold on 1 second. Maybe they're saying to themselves, you know what? We know what the mitzvah is. We know that it needs to be, we know it needs the full amount of oil, but we have no other option here because we're not just going to forgo all of this, you know, all the only pure oil we have. We're not just going to forgo it. So hopefully Hashem will do a miracle for us. Maybe they were relying on the fact that Hashem was going to do a miracle for them. Says the Pri Chadash, that also can't be. That they could not have filled it up by 1/8. Just assuming the fact that God is going to do something miraculous for them, because we have a Gemara that tells us in Masechta Pesachim on Daf Samach Dalet that we do not rely on miracles. Ain somtana anes. We don't rely on miracles. So it's very problematic, this first answer to the Vesel. So the Pri Chadash gives another suggestion. He gives a similar suggestion. What his backup suggestion to this Beis Yosef is that he says that perhaps what the Beis Yosef meant was that they filled it up all the way. They filled it up all the way, but it only burned 1/8. Meaning that when they filled it up, it was concentrated oil. It was miraculous that the oil was more concentrated than it was more dense. Meaning it had the same volume, but its mass was a larger mass of oil, and therefore it burned more slowly. And that was the miraculous element of it. So it only burnt down 1/8 each night. So that's what the Pri Chadash says, that perhaps that's what the Beis Yosef meant. Because it can't be that they only put 1/8 in. It has to be that they put all of it in, but it only burnt down 1/8. Okay, so we just got to one or maybe two answers to address this question. Okay, we have only 98 left to go. Right. They weren't relying on that. Right. So it solves both issues. They put all the oil in and they weren't relying on any miracle. But it was already filled. I guess. Marty's bringing up a good point. Right. Marty's bringing up a good point, which is that once it only dropped down a little bit, so they should have said, well, now we don't have enough oil to do this next night, because who's to say that it's going to stay lit now? Meaning, who's to say it's going to stay lit beyond that second day or beyond that third day, right? So Marty's basically saying that on day 3 or day 4 or day 5, they were at that point relying on a miracle that it was going to stay lit. So there, that's actually not a problem. Not a problem. The Urayim writes that if somebody is experiencing open miracles, then you could assume that while you're experiencing open miracles,
that more are just going to keep coming at that moment. So during that period, you're experiencing miracles. More miracles could be coming down your road just at that, like at that time. I guess like those in Mitzrayim, right? Nachshon ben Aminadav, right? He, right, the Jewish people at that time just experienced so many miracles. They get to the dead end of the sea, right? And Nachshon just starts walking in, right? He just walks in, right? Because he knew Hashem was going to make another. How do you know? Wasn't he relying on a miracle? Isn't that a problem? No, because the Jewish people were just experiencing so many open miracles. So the assumption is that more miracles are about to happen. So I think that's how you can resolve the, yeah. Yeah.
Did they have to light it every day?
Or that, every one, day.
Did you have one file that you said, however long that lasts?
They had to light it. They had to light it every day, and if it was and it was still lit, there's a Gemara in Beitza that says you just if you add a little bit of oil to something that's already lit, you add fuel to the fire. It's like you're light. It's as if you're lighting it. It needed to be lit every day. So there needed to be the requisite amount of oil every single day.
But then there's a problem with consumption because it burns down on 1/8. On the second day, you don't have to.
That is Marty's point. That's Marty's point exactly. That right. That and so that's Marty's asking, which is that. But it's still no, because now there you know for sure there's going to be enough oil to last that it's going to stay lit, because of the fact that these open miracles are happening in front of you. So you can assume that more miracles are going to be coming your way. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Oh, yeah. I said we have it's already 8 o'clock. We have 98 answers left to get to. Come on. OK. Nobody's going to work tomorrow. Right. OK, good. We're just going to stay here learning all night. It's like Shavuos. OK. Not enough time on Shavuos to get to all the answers. OK, let's get to the next answer. The next answer. Really, the next two answers are very similar of the Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef says like this. He says, Odiyei Shlomar, you can give another answer, says the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, Shelo Acher Shenatnu Shemen B'Neiros HaMenorah. So they find this small little Pach Shemen, just a little bit of oil. Find just a little bit. They fill it up. And then what happens? They fill the whole thing. Nishar HaPach Maleh. After they filled up the menorah, they look at the jar. Looks full. As we get to Elisha now, looks full. All right? So they filled up the whole thing and it stayed full. And then the next day, they go, they fill up the whole thing, it stays full. And every single day, it just stayed full. So says the Beis Yosef, that's why Chag is 8 days, because it was miraculous every single day. It just kept staying full. And then he gives another answer that just basically flip it. Inamish Bil Risho, not to call Hashem and Beneros, that they put in the first night they put all the oil in the menorah, vidalku kol alilu b'boker matzra aneros maleim, and that every day when they got up they saw that the oil cups were totally full. It didn't even drop down a third. It was totally full every night, every day. So meaning that it even if it burnt down, it just kept refilling. So either it's that the jug kept refilling or it didn't lose any oil, or it's that the menorah kept refilling. So there's a few problems with this one also. We'll just get to the issues already. The problems with this one is also, this is again pointed out by the Pri Chadash, that the Pri Chadash points out two problems. And one is just that it didn't really address the issue because it just flipped the issue. This is no longer, the question is, that they had enough oil to last one day, miracle happened that it lasted 8 days, which means that the first day was not miraculous. The next 7 days were miraculous. Hanukkah shall be a 7-day miracle. These two answers, that the jug stay full or that the menorah stay full, just pushed the issue from a 1-day issue to a day 8 issue. Now it was miraculous on day 1, day 2, day 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, but day 8, it wasn't miraculous anymore because on day 8, the jug emptied and the menorah burnt down. That oil was not miraculous, right? Which means that it's still only a 7-day miracle. So that's the first issue he brings up with this. The second issue, now this issue is not brought up by the Prichadash. This issue is brought up by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, also someone who is unquestionably a genius. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was just three. These are the three answers. Yeah, these are his three answers. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was quoted by Reb Zevin. Reb Zevin, Reb Yosef Zevin, was also an encyclopedist of more recent times, living in the 20th century. But he quotes from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who was the second to Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, the Volozhin Yeshiva, Yeshiva Seitz Chaim. He passed away in 1918, unfortunately did not live a very long life, only 65 years. Reb Chaim married the granddaughter of the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, the Netziv. And Reb Chaim was known by all the Rabbanim of Europe of being the greatest Talmud Chacham in Europe. He was probably the greatest Torah scholar to live in the last 200 years. It's probably. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was an incredible mind. And he brings up another issue with these two answers. These two answers said that the jug either stayed full, like the story of Elisha Dr. Lakey brought up, is that the story of Elisha, it's cited in the fourth chapter of the Navi, of the prophets of Malachim Bet, that Elisha had done this miracle for the Isha Shunamis, that he had given her this blessing that she was going to have a baby, and then unfortunately the baby died in infancy, and then Elisha did this miracle to bring the baby back to life. And one of the mystical things he did was that he asked her to bring all of the pots in her house, and that she had just a little bit of oil, and he filled up all of the pots in the house with just a little bit of oil that was there, because the jug just never ran out. So very similar to what happened in that story of Elisha is what the Beis Yosef is saying that happened with the what happened with the menorah, that the jug never ran out, or that the menorah didn't run out, which is problematic because the Torah tells us, when it describes the obligation of lighting the menorah in the temple, the way the Torah describes the type of oil that needs to be used is that it says that it has to be shemen zayit zach tatis lamenorah. It needs to be pure olive oil without any sediment, so that it has to be the purest olive oil one can have. Pure olive oil without anything else. It needs to be what kind of oil? Shemen zayit, olive oil, meaning that it comes from olives, not miracle oil. Miracle oil, which is basically what the Beis Yosef is describing, that they were filling up from a jug that just never emptied out. That's not even categorically olive oil anymore. That's just called miracle oil. You can't use miracle oil to fulfill the... It's beautiful. It's like it does amazing things, right? You can be sold on miracle oil, no question about it. But you'd be sold a lemon in the temple, because you need to use mamish. You need to use olive oil that comes from olives. That's what it says in the Torah. You can't use miracle oil. So this is miracle oil. So that's Reb Chaim's major issue with this Beis Yosef. And in fact, even some proof text to back this up, something to assist Reb Chaim in his argument, which was pointed out by Rabbi Jachter. Rabbi Jachter is he's a Rav in Teaneck, New Jersey, and he's a Dayan. He's a big Talmud Chacham, and I once heard from him that the Radak, which is one of the commentaries on the prophets, on the Navi, in that story of Elisha. So he writes over there that, he writes something amazing, that Elisha filled up all those pots, right? Now, what do we as Jews need to do with our fresh produce in the land of Israel? We need to take our produce and the byproducts of that produce, and we need to make tithes. We need to give the truma to the Kohanim and the Meiser to the Levium, and so we need to make our tithe. It says the Radak that the oil inside those pots, no tithes needed to be separated from that oil. Why? It's not olive oil. It's miracle oil. So you see that even the Radak is calling it in a completely different context. But nevertheless, he's saying that that's not called olive oil. Because if it was called olive oil, then she would have had to give 10% to the Levim. But it's not the case. That was called miracle oil, not olive oil. It's artificially enhanced oil, not olive oil. So what's going to be our way? So here's where the Pri Chadash comes into to save the day. Like we said before, the Pri Chadash, everything he writes is just so incredible. It's just so incredible. So he comes in and saves the day like this, and he gives basically three of his own answers. The three answers he gives: number one, we said earlier, which was that they put the whole thing in, but every day it just burnt down 1/8. It only burnt down 1/8. It was just super concentrated olive oil. Now, that's not problematic in the issue of isn't that just called miracle oil? No, because here we have a concept called what's called yotze, which is that the Gemara talks about byproducts. Let me give you an example. So the Gemara talks about, for example, Masechta Bechoros. It's also discussed in Masechta Sanhedrin. Masechta Zvachim also discusses this, which is that, let's say I have an animal that I made the animal Kodesh. I made the animal holy. So let's say I have a cow that I made Betsy the cow holy, that it needs to be brought, that she needs to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. And then Mazel Tov, Betsy the cow is expecting. What do we say about the fetus? Is the fetus now considered holy, right? And the fetus is then born to a mother that, when she conceived, was a holy animal. What's the status of the baby? Is it also now need to be brought up to the temple, or is it not? Because I never said anything about the baby. So the Gemara discusses this concept of byproduct, where byproducts, yotze, is goreim, that the byproduct takes on the status of the thing that it came from, the original source. So here says the Pri Chadash, whether it be that it only burnt down 1/8, or that, let's say there was a little bit of oil, let's say it burnt down the whole way, but then just from a little bit of oil, it resurfaced every single day, that's fine. And that's not an issue of miracle oil, because that's olive oil that was procured miraculously, because it stemmed from olive oil. It came from olive. It was a byproduct of olive oil, right? It burnt down only 1/3 because of how concentrated it was. That concentration in the oil, that additional mass, developed from within the olive oil that already existed. The oil that was just a little bit that was left that then refilled, that was refilling from the olive oil that's already in existence. If you have something that is ex nihilo, that's something from nothing, that's miraculous oil. That's miracle oil. That's not olive oil that came from that's not a byproduct of olive oil. That's miraculous oil. And in fact, there's backup to this as well, that the Taz writes this, as Reb David Siegel, we mentioned before, also writes this. He says that the Ramban, Nachmanides, 1194 to 1270, from Girona, Spain. He passed away in Eretz Yisrael, fulfilling his lifelong dream of making Aliyah. The Ramban, he writes that that he was one of probably the greatest Jewish philosopher to ever live. That's what the Chassam Sofer also writes, like that. The Ramban is the source of basically all Jewish philosophy. And the Ramban, he writes that that after creation, nothing was created ex nihilo anymore. Nothing was created something from nothing. That yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, only happened during creation. After that point, then all the raw materials in the world necessary to create more, even if they're miraculous, it stemmed from something. It was not something from nothing. In fact, that's what the pasuk says in Kohelis, Ein kol chadash tachas ha-shemesh. There's nothing new under the sun, meaning Rashi explains on that pasuk that from the moment of creation, all raw material that the world will ever need was already in existence, And then everything after that point is just byproducts from that, whether it be from evolution or whether that be from innovation. But everything is already there to be built off of. So says the Pri Chadash, that's what was happening inside the menorah. That in the menorah, it burnt down, let's say, only a little bit, or burnt down all the way and then refilled. It refilling is not something from nothing. That's something from something. And the something it comes from is the status it takes on. So now it took on the status of the olive oil that it came from.
What about the explanation with the jug?
That would also work, right? As long as there was a little bit left in the jug. You have to say there was a little bit left in the jug. Yeah. Which would mean then, my only issue with this Pri Chadash is not really problematic. I don't think it's a problem. Just you have to read it back into the way the story is brought down. The way the story is brought down is that they found one jug, right? That's what it says. It says, Lo matzu ala pach echad shel shemen shahaya muna pachosu shel kohen gadol, that there was only one jug. There was enough to only last for one day. You have to say that one day was a little bit more than one day. Not enough for 2 days, but there was enough. There was more than just for 24 hours. There was enough for, you know, more than that. Not enough for 2 or 3 or 8 days, but there was enough for 1+ days. A little bit more. That's in order so that it can regenerate from existing oil. And that was the miracle. So it does. Because every day it keeps refilling from the little bit that's left. It's olive oil that it came about miraculously. That's it. The first day is, because the first day burnt down it burnt down. So right. So Brian's saying though that first day that it burnt down was not miraculous. There was enough for that one day. So then you have to say that first answer is really the best answer, is that it only burnt down 1/8, right? That's the answer we're liking, right? That's our favorite answer so far, is that it just became super concentrated oil. That's the best answer. What? Right. So there's a miracle every day. That's what you have to say. No, it's not, because then that eighth is burning for a full 20. That is miraculous. Yeah, that little bit is lasting the full amount of time. Yeah. Yeah, that's something like that. Something like that. Yeah, this class is not for the rationalists. And so I tell you, this is not, Chanukah is not for the rationalists. In fact, by the way, you should just know that the Maharal of Prague writes exactly that, that Chanukah represents our belief in things happening l'mala min ha-teva, that God works beyond nature, right? He has a whole essay about that called Ner Mitzvah, that he discusses that's what really the underpinnings of Chanukah are, that we believe in God working beyond the bounds of nature. The wick, yeah, that's one of the answers also. That is one of the answers. The wick was a super thick wick. Yeah. They took something like that. So now before we get to the three easiest answers, the ones that are the least contentious, that basically skirt the issues entirely. We should just point out the Taz, which we brought up before, Rabbi David Siegel of the 17th century. The Taz doesn't like any of these answers. He brings down a few of the answers. He brings down the answers of the Beis Yosef, but he says, I don't like any of these answers. Because if any of this was the case, what we're describing, that either they only put 1/8 of in, or that the jug never emptied, or that the menorah never emptied, or that it kept refilling, you know, or the jug kept refilling. Why isn't it part of the story? It's not part. None of these answers are part of the story. These are significant details, right? It should be part of the story. Part of what we tell over when we tell over the story of Hanukkah is that the candles lasted 8 days because every day the menorah kept refilling miraculously. None of that's ever said.
Nobody.
This is all speculation. It's all speculation. Says the Taz that if any of this was true, it would have been included in the story. So now let's get to the answers that just totally obliterate the question. So, so there's three answers. We have it's 8:17. Okay, they're quick answers. Three quick answers. So, number one is the Chida. Chacham Chaim Yosef David Azulai was a 18th century. He was an 18th century fundraiser. He was actually raising funds for the new yeshuv, for the new settlements in the land of Israel. So he was out raising money, and he would send money back to the new settlements in Israel. And he was an incredible genius. Basically, what he would do, he was a prolific author, wrote something like 120 different books in his lifetime. When he the reason he wrote so many books is because when he would get to a new town to raise money, the first thing he'd do before going to meet with the top donors, he'd say, "Where's the library?" He'd go to the Beis Medrash because they had books in this town that didn't exist in any other town, and every town was like that. That was not like today where we have, you know, in this library and, you know, in every library it's on the computer. Or, you know, then every library had something new to offer. So he'd go and he'd find the books he hadn't seen before, and he would just basically memorize them. And then between his travels, he would write commentary on everything that he. So he was incredible. One of his books, probably his most important, is his commentary on Shulchan Aruch called the Birkei Yosef. And over there, he found a manuscript of the She'iltos of Rav Achai Gaon, one of the Gaonim going back to the 9th century. Rav Achai Gaon. The way he brings down the story is he brings it down with a little bit of a different language, which for someone like the Chida, he had access to something like this because he found this manuscript. And his manuscript, when the She'iltos records the story, he records a little differently. That when we read it, it said, Lo Matsu, they didn't found. Ela pach echad. All they found was ela pach echad shel shemen, one jug. And what did it have? Velohaya bo. And there wasn't enough elahadlik, only to light. There was only enough to light yom echad, to light for one day, meaning there's enough oil for one day. The way the She'iltos reads the Gemara is lohaya bo afilu lahadlik yom echad. There wasn't even enough to light for one day, which means that the first day was also miraculous. I mean, the way the She'iltos records this Gemara, the way he records this episode of Hanukkah, is that there wasn't even enough to last for one day. So that really takes care of all the problems. Now, the reason why this answer really was not accepted, and why we don't tell over the story that way, is because no one else had the Talmud record the story this way. Of all the different manuscripts, the She'iltos is the only one that has it, which means that by the time you get to the Beis Yosef, who's, you know, we're talking about in, you know, in somewhere in the Ottoman Empire, he's writing this, or in Sfat in Israel, he's writing this somewhere in the, you know, 16th century. From the 9th, 8th, 9th, 10th century, for the next 500 years, 600 years, nobody edited the Talmud. Is just hard to imagine. So that's why most have not accepted this Birkei Yosef. It's reminiscent of, like, heard from Rabbi Jack there also, that he heard from Ron Lichtenstein, who received a PhD. Ron Lichtenstein, aside from being one of the most accomplished Talmidei Chachamim of the 21st century, but and son-in-law of Rabbi Soloveitchik, but he also had a PhD in literature, English literature, from Harvard. And he said that when studying literature, the more the easiest manuscript to read is usually the one that's less accurate, meaning the one that people are working on and toiling over is usually the more accurate of the of manuscripts in literature than the ones that solve the issues that everyone else is dealing with. Because if that was the case, then the other ones would have been edited by the time it got to your desk. So the same logic can basically apply over here as well. There's two other quick answers, though. The Pri Chadash writes that the first day we would have celebrated Hanukkah anyway, similar to Purim. Purim, where we celebrate the fact that we won the war, right? There's a great miracle that took place over the Jewish people's victory. The same thing would have happened for Hanukkah. The first day, the 25th of Kislev, the day when we were able to go in and re-inaugurate the temple, would have been a yontif, would have been a holiday. The only reason it extended for an additional 7 days is because of the miracle with the oil, which was a seven-day miracle for all intents and purposes. So now we've covered, we got to like 6 or 7 different answers. Okay, we didn't get to all 100. Maybe next year we'll get to all 100 answers. All right, we'll stop here for now. Shkach, everyone. Good night, everybody.